Just in case you put something
right
on the screen.
And, we're waiting on the sheriff.
Mr. Mayor, would you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. This be my first match.
Susan and I are on the Citizens Advisory Committee. I'm vice chair. The chair, Jaime. Jaime's out of town.
Webb.
Yeah, Jaime Webb's our chairman.
Yeah.
So I'm vice chair, and Susan's a past chair.
Lays out the dollar amounts
And then there's a schedule at the very end of the document. This is a draft document. We're required to do it this early so that you guys can program the planning dollars. And we will adopt a final document sometime in May. So this is a draft, and we can certainly make changes before the final document is completed in May. But basically, we're requesting a total of $209,000 from Federal Highway and $83,440 from FTA. And that covers about 128 man weeks for my staff. And that's roughly about half of our program. Now, the city and the county, the locals have to match those amounts on a percentage. So the state is sort of kicking in $26,000 for federal highway projects, and the locals are going to kick in another $26,000 for federal highway. For FTA, the locals are going to kick in $10,430, and the state will match that as well.
Okay, we'll have a motion to adopt the draft report.
Some
of it. A motion, second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. The motion carries. The plan and TIP amendments. Approval of CMAC project. You're going to talk that.
And I'll also cover number three, track the third time, but part of number two is in forming determination report. For the people who are new, and we have a good number of new faces here, before we can receive any money for improving streets and roads in Macon Bibb County, we have to have a transportation plan as well as a transportation improvement program. The plan sets out the projects, all our projects, whether it be transit, street and highway, we even have the airport in there. It sets out the major 20-year plan, 20-year plan horizon. The TIP is like a capital budget that many of you councilmen and county commissioners and Mr. King, you deal with at the hospital. When you lay out what the projects are, how much they're going to be, what year they're going to be funded, and where the money's coming from. And we're required to have one of those as well before we have any streets or roads or transit or improvements to the airport. What we're doing here today is we're amending the plan and the TIP. Very simply, the plan needs to be updated in terms of the cost estimates, and they call that year of expenditure under safety loop. That's a new requirement this year. We have to estimate by the year of expenditure, which means everything was in $2,004 in the past plan. So if it's a 2030 expenditure, we had to inflate it to a 2030 expenditure, not using $2,004. The methodology we used was given to us by Georgia DOT. Cambridge Systematics is the one that developed the methodology, and without having to go through a 20-page or 30-page explanation, we basically use that methodology to inflate our revenues and expenditures. Now, that being said, the simple part of amending the plan will be on page 4 of your handout that we gave you. And this is basically a CMAP, which is a Clean Air Act grant, page 4, it looks like this, for the county. No, sir, I'm sorry. On the agenda. And this is a three-year project that the county's been approved for. The money is in the, let's say, the state funds, actually the federal funds. It's 80% federal funds, 20% local funds. The county's already worked out the local matching on this. The state's already approved it. Basically, what this is retrofitting existing diesel vehicles with either a wire mesh filter or a diesel oxidation catalytic converter, or buying hybrids, okay? And so basically the total project cost is $822,000, and they broke that out over 3 years, as you can see. So we're asking y'all to amend the plan to include these projects as well as the TIP for these projects. The amendment to the plan is chapter 5 here, and basically I told you why we had to do this. And if you look on page, let's get on the summary of expenditures, the page is not numbered here, but it works, it's at the very end of table 5.1. Summary of expenses. We basically counting everything, long range studies that we have to do, which are listed in that table 5.1. Has everybody found what I'm talking about? Is that page there? Okay. Including those, ITS architecture, like signalization, buying equipment, operation maintenance of that equipment, and as well as the lump sum projects that we have, which everybody knows a lump sum is something like a bridge repair, something that you really can't anticipate, so the federal government lets you put a lump sum in your plan as well as in your TIP. It's just a lump sum of money, and you borrow from that pot to pay for those things. And then the total projects that we have listed in that. And it's $1.1 billion of the cost through the year 2030. Okay, turn over three pages, where you got table 5.5. Okay. And basically, here, we've got an estimated federal and state funding of $1.7 billion. That includes a little over $11 million in congressional earmarks, which is on table 5-6. And all y'all, thanks to Gigi, I was able to get these and put them in the plan. So these are additional funds above and beyond what we normally would get because they are earmarked funds for the streetscapes on Riverside Drive, the walkway parks, the Women's Road bike lanes, the Riverside Drive streetscape, the Pierce Avenue bike pedestrian, the 2nd Street Railroad Bridge replacement, and the Rivoli Drive bike lane. So those were earmarked under congressional passed, so, and those come straight to that. And that's that $11 million, well over $11 million in federal funds is in the projected federal state funding in Table 5.5. If you flip over to the very last page, and that will be Table 5.9, the safety lieu, as well as all previous federal Transportation Act require that your plan be fiscally constrained or balanced. In other words, you've got to have enough revenue to do what you project to do, or more revenues. In our case, by looking at projections, we will have about $651 million more than we need to complete the projects that are in the plan right now, including transit. And again, this is just an estimate of what it would be. The last time we used the $2,004, we ended up, I can't remember the exact amount of money, but it was a pretty similar amount in having more revenues than expenditures. Okay, and so I guess if you look at the resolution, which is in the packet behind that table, MATS 07-1201. What this does is approve that Chapter 5 and the CMAQ projects for the county. And this puts them in the plan and in the PIP.
The CMAQ funds are not for county vehicles?
Well, they can buy hybrids. Well, I think Ms. Kitchen pulled the fast one. We were one of the first and only ones to get hybrids in the state.
What I mean is that it's for the government vehicles, not for grants to the general public.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And in fact, it's for a lot more things than just retrofitting. But right now, Georgia DOT sits the project thresholds, if you will, and the highest priority right now is fixing the diesel problem because of the PM2.5 problem that we have now. And in fact, as many of y'all well know, we're already putting together projects for the next funding cycle right now. They're due in Atlanta by or postmarked by this Friday. And we've got a city project of retrofitting going on now. We have a signalization project, which is a joint city-county venture of coordinating signals of a number of our intersections. And we have one for the Transit Authority, which is a route going out to the Bass Pro Shop. And so those are the three basic grant applications that we have going right now. And I would note that we have all three funded. It appears like I know two of them probably will be the signalization and the city repetition, you know, fixing the diesel problem. That's probably going to be funded too. I don't have a final application yet, Mr. Mayor. You'll have to sign it, so you'll see it before it goes on. But we've been working with vehicle maintenance and the CAO. Ms. Kitchen's been working with her. She's been working with traffic engineering to get that project together. So if we could get at least those two done, that would be really a great thing for the community.
And the city did file an application for them, but it was not the right application.
That's right, last year.
And it was turned down.
Right.
It wasn't geared towards what the money should be.
And it was late.
And it was late.
Right.
So it wasn't the fact that the city didn't apply. They just applied and tried to use it for something and wasn't approved.
Yes, ma'am.
Are we going to be asked to vote on these together? Because the CAC looked at them separately. And I have.
Well, this the resolution
is together. Are we going to vote on them separately or together?
Together.
Okay.
And that's the way I work with Federal Highway and Georgia DOT, and I think I can refer to this.
Okay.
You have to be in both of them to make it happen.
I would just say, I'll just tell you why I'm going to vote against it. If you want to do it during discussion, that's fine.
Okay. We have a resolution before us, and I've asked for a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
We got a motion second.
Okay, discussion. The CAC spent a lot of time talking about both of these. Actually, we spend a lot of time talking about everything. And we voted to accept the congestion management and air quality projects, but we voted not to accept the amendment to the long-range transportation plan because of some of our longstanding objections from the citizens about projects in that. So I'll be voting against it, but please know that we have a split vote on this.
Okay.
Thank you.
May I say something? And I was at the meeting, so I understand that. But the Chapter 5 that's amending their plan, the only thing it does is it updates the figures. We're only dealing with the financial end of the plan. We're not talking about, you know, coming up with new plans or whatever. What we did is we took the projects by network year. And what I mean by network year, you have the year 2010, 2020, and 2030 years that you are benchmark years for different projects that are going to be implemented during those networks. And all we did is we took that table, which was table appendix N in the conformity determination report, and just updated it. You know, so it doesn't change the projects for me.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same side.
Nay.
Motion carries.
Okay, the next item, Mr. Chairman, that's going to be mine as well, is conformity determination report. For the new people on the committee, the conformity determination report basically compares our transportation improvements that we program over the next 30 years and takes a look at whether or not it's going to make the air dirtier than it is today. And that's just the bottom line. And we look at both ozone and fine particles, which is PM2.5, those two types of pollutants. Those are the only two that we have designated non-conforming. We're in maintenance area now for O3, which means that we haven't exceeded the threshold, but we'll still, for 20 years, be doing the conformance determination report. If you turn to page 59 in the conformance determination report, what they basically do is they take all the socioeconomic data in the plan that we give them, and they generate what the traffic or vehicle miles traveled will be in the year 2010, 2020, 2030. And from that, they can determine what the VOCs are. And those are volatile. They cause people to make ozone. They cause the things, emittance from the earth, exhaust, to make ozone, just very simple. And what we have to do under federal law is we have to compare 2010, 2020, and 2030 against 2002. In other words, we have to be at least equal to or less than the year 2002 in NOx, nitrogen oxide, which gives us the ozone. And as you can see in that table, all 3 years passed. That's the simplest way to explain it. If you look back further in like page 149, you'll see the printout from Mobile 6. That's a computer model they use to generate these figures, and if you can understand everything they've got in there, then you're smarter than I. Not many people know too much about Mobile 6. We're starting to know more about that. Okay, so we passed on ozone. If you turn to page 73, we have a similar situation with PM2.5 or fine particles. And the mobile source emissions, what we mean by mobile source, we're looking at exhaust pipes. We're not looking at smokestacks like Georgia Power. So we're only looking at mobile sources. This model, Mobile 6, only generates the figures for tailpipes, cars, trucks, lawnmowers, you name it, everything. So, and again, we had to be less than or equal to 2002. And again, looking at the mobile source emissions, again, we passed it all three of those years. And that's just a simple explanation. We also amended the CDR by adding the amended Chapter 5 financial plan, which has to be in the conformity determination report, as well as we added the new participation plan, which this committee adopted last spring on the Citizens Advisory Committee and how we deal with citizen comments and what have you. Now, the plan amendment, the TIP amendment, and the CDR have all been sought out for public review and comment, and haven't received any of the comments. The only comments we really received was from the Citizens Advisory Committee on these. This allows us to continue our street and road program because it says it does meet federal guidance on air quality. In the agenda, we have another resolution, which is 07-1202, which does a number of things, one of which is approving the conformity determination report. And basically instructing us to transmit this CDR to Federal Highway Administration and Transit Administration for their review and comments. And we normally also forward one to EPA, which all of those agencies have already received a copy of these, all three of these, and the only comments they had on those were basically taking things out that were old that we didn't need to be updated for the new requirements that we have. So I respectfully y'all and put us to submit this to EPA, Federal Highway Transit Administration, by approving MAS 07-1202.
Do you have a motion to approve?
So moved.
A motion to approve? Any discussion?
I'm just passing along the CAC's comments. We had a few questions about some of the assumptions made, but we had, as Vernon said, really were quite confused about what we were being asked to vote about. So we just moved to accept it, but I think it's rather confusing, and we did have a few questions about it.
Unfortunately, you know, the way the federal guidance is given, they were bringing in Mobile 6, and it's a very technical, way of modeling your budget and future based on the given transportation improvements.
The bottom line that you're required to use that along the
right.
Their assumption,
right?
And you don't have any
problem. We don't have any guidance whatsoever other than that, right? We went fast on all of them.
A vote and second discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
You ready? You got the status report in front of you. Couple corrections. The second page, the fourth item. I-75 from Pierce to I-16, that should be 2012, and the trouble item down at PI, we
should have just a second. Everybody should be looking at that table in the handouts that we're in front of you. It's separate, it's not anything there.
I-75 from Pierce to authorize. Right away is authorized, and there's some comments over there in bold that should be deleted. I mentioned Second Street Bridge earlier. We're still waiting for a response back from local government on the project framework agreement on that project. Dealing with doing right of way and construction utilities. It's PI 2225. First page. The Second Street Bridge project. There's several HPP projects that Newtown Macon is working on that first phase. They kicked off the preliminary engineering phase of that at this point. Well into it. The other thing, we had a public hearing last week for I-16, I-75, and we're still sifting through the comments. The deadline for that has not yet passed.
Oh, we have a lot of new people around the table. Explain to them what the HPP is doing,
what
the kind of funds we're dealing with, so they'll understand what we're talking about.
Right. The HPP funds are earmarked funds, earmarked by congressional members for specific projects in congressional districts. And there are several of those type of projects in our tip here in Macon. Generally dealing with the Riverwalk and the Second Street Bridge is one. I believe there was one for some right of way on the log cabin burning. That's what those type of projects are. And anybody's got any questions?
What is HPP?
High priority project.
Congressional earmark.
I know that there's in the works a reconfiguration for the intersection of Thompson, Lamar, Lower Thomas, and just not a day, about 83rd day, we wrecked that intersection out there. And that was at high speed.
Is that one y'all going, did y'all look at that as being a roundabout?
That's what I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm. I think they looked at it, and then I think there's so many points of conflict that the roundabout would not work. Huh? I believe that's what Mike Eaton
said. You know, I'd ask if that be looked at, because they're talking about putting the roundabout up to 341 and 74. Mm-hmm. And usually, like I say, the collisions are at very high speed because people will be, particularly when you're coming out, you've got 2 4-way stop signs within a few feet.
And I've run that one. I've run it.
Right.
Because you don't
have to run it. And what happens is people come down, going out of Macon, be running 65, 70 miles an hour, and somebody be at a stop sign on Johnson Road and pull off. And the car cut off of Thompson Road, it'd be a blind off of Thompson Road, hit it west and hit them broadside, same way coming in. You have high speed collisions coming in because people will pull up and either they'll pull out too far and cause somebody to veer over into the other lane. We had some head on there. That intersection needs to be prioritized and moved up.
Well, it's in our. It's a funding is a lump sum category, and they have it assigned to a consulting firm for design. So, as of November, it is assigned to a.
Tom, my mama was from Missouri, and I got some of that show me too. I'd like to see why it wouldn't work.
I have to ask Mike.
Now that's what because the angle of that Lower Thompson Road, but I. You know,
but that's
enough area there in the middle of the way that you move it over and maybe make one there.
Is there any way that Mike could come here and show us why it won't work or what the difficulties are? And, you know, if it's where you need to buy maybe more right of way than you normally would for something like that, it might be that the community is willing to do that to make it work. So.
And then it would give us some indication of how well those would work in that area. And I realize it's an expensive proposition, but with the number of wrecks that's there already, then it might be something that we won't look at, particularly when they right up the road there, less than, 23 miles. They're planning on putting one at the crossroads there that has a 4-way stop. Now, I realize you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 streets coming in there, and they're bad angles, and that may be what the problem is because you'd have.
The way they come in,
you have Lamar and Johnson Road coming in almost together there, so I don't know whether they can move that application over for Lower Thompson. They'd have a hard time without cutting out that house there. I don't know how they would do it. Or they might turn it in down the road there, but it may be too near the intersection. And they may be right, but I would like to look at that, and if they show us this map, then I'll.
I mean, at this point, they don't have a concept even.
And that's one thing, though. I mean, there's some bad wrecks there, and it's continual. We either need to look at some temporary signal relation or something at that intersection because, I mean, it's not one of these things where this happens once in a while. I mean, you know, I go through that intersection a good bit, so I notice it more than anybody else, and, you know, a lot of wrecks there.
It's hard to see.
My brother was turned over with about 3 years ago. It came out from the stop sign that I was talking about on Johnson Avenue and on Bronco, and a car cut off to the left and hit him in the rear and flipped him out in the middle of that field last time, you know, about 3 times. And, you know, of course, he should have probably been a little bit more observant, but it's a bad intersection any way you look at it.
Well, it's hard to see, and you get tired of sitting, and you try to jump out.
And coming around a curve, back a while with it, curves off to the right, so when you pull up at it, you've got that stuff out in the middle of it.
and like you say, you're watching the other one turn left in front of you. So you got a lot of traffic coming out that road, so you're trying to dodge the one. Make sure if you're going left, then you got to watch the guy coming up to the right, and that's when they get hit.
Mr. Chairman, could I propose that we might hire somebody who has expertise in roundabouts, because most of the design firms we've used locally have never done one, and so if that's indeed who, you didn't mention the name of the design firm that's trying to grab.
It's an international firm, Arcadis.
Arcadis
has been assigned to the design.
But I would think that George Bass particularly in this would have to be the one that make that decision.
Has Arcadis done roundabouts?
I believe they have. I mean, they,
but we don't know.
They're proposing one right up the road, Doc, so I don't think that that's an issue here. I think that it probably is an issue with that the two roads coming out so close together. But we just need to see if it's an application they use, then I think that would be a good one to try with that many roads coming in. But you'd have to fix the angle of that road, I believe, and that's probably what the problem is. You'd have two roads coming in on the circle almost together. You'd have to turn one of those, and then you might. There is some vacant property there on the left coming off the Johnson Road that might have to be acquired. I don't know. I wouldn't propose taking anybody's house out, I mean, if you can do it with a traditional intersection, but it's just something you should look at. And I interrupted your report if you did.
Well, I mean, and that was his initial observation of that intersection. And, you know, when you get down and look at the movements and what have you, and make, you know, modify, change, and we don't have the concept from the consulting firm yet either. So it very well may be that one of the options is the roundabout, and others an intersection improvement suit.
That's another thing. That's the east. It will slow down in traffic in the morning on Thompson Road, because that's the east-west situation. We had one day before yesterday. You come up over that hill right about Seymour's Nursery out there where it used to be, and you can't see anything. And the cars stop turning into that nursery, they hit them in the rear and turn them over there. So it would take a while to be accustomed to something to slow you down right there, but I think it would be worthwhile to look at.
I have a couple of questions. On the second page, what does PHOH stand for? That's one I have.
Public Hearing and Open House.
Okay, thank you. I would ask again that you make this report available to the CAC. We've asked this in the past.
Yeah, we're gonna work towards
never
doing that.
Come about. And the third question, on the Second Street Bridge, what happens if the local people, and I've talked to lots of people around here, and they think Second Street Bridge basically needs to be repaved, that this is a huge project, that the money probably is way over budgeted. What happens to a congressional earmark if the locals decide that they don't need to do a project as big as what the earmark is for?
Because it's up to the congressman.
Okay.
I think it's safe in his district and you need to give it to us.
Okay. I hadn't seen that before, they had looked at the repaid and actually had repaid.
There was another issue about Zarnish Church Road and what was something to can them down. And the footprint of that Zarnish Church was one thing, and Chandler Downs, apparently they built right up to the edge line. In the future, planning and zoning will be invited to concept meetings, field plan reviews, and at those meetings, y'all will be getting plans for those projects. So that maybe in the future we don't have...
The problem we have with this, it's really funny, it's kind of like, best laid plans go undone or something like that. We actually had plans, and the developer got with Georgia Dot plat on the rear yard where they're not taking was the right of way that was given to the developer. We made DOT sign off on what they had to do before we actually approved the final plat.
Right, didn't anticipate it.
Right.
And it was designed.
Right. And the problem that we have, and Tom, you know this as well, is once you get the plans done and somebody goes out and starts walking the property and they want to change things here and there, that's where we run into the problem.
Right.
And that's what happened on this side.
The revisions, right, even right of way negotiations right. can change the plan.
It had to do with the elevation of the road and anything right. else is what I understand. And then when the elevation has to be lower down, then the slope of the back slope actually causes an intrusion, plus the temporary need for, under the new sedimentation policy, the need to have a sedimentation pond temporary. For the life of the project, and I think we've been meeting with the DOT, and I think that they have
worked that out.
Really trying to work on it.
That's often that structure that it was on. The other thing was there was noise barrier. Mentioned in an article that said it was only one. I've been told that there are two noise barriers on that project. So if that was a concern. Folks,
I got a question. I'm not sure how y'all, once we get projects on here, if they stay on until they're approved. So, for instance, like Mercer University?
No, they don't. They do not stay on this list once they go to construction because we do have a list that is generated by construction division.
It would seem like y'all would change it so that it was a status report of active projects too, even if it was a separate one. Because a lot of times what you get from the public is where are they on the project and when are they going to be through. So, you know, we get that from the water customers that have temporary services that have been building this road for 3 years. Do you know when they're going to finish it? Mm-hmm. So the anticipated date, and that's just like Zeblin Road. That crossing, you might think Zeblin Road where the bridge is through, but the lights are out of sync, and if you call up to ask about the lights being out of
contract,
that project's not over to DOT yet. Then my question would be, when will that project be to DOT? So I think as much as from a planning perspective that it's important this group to know where projects are in a planning process is probably just as important, especially for these elected officials who are going to get called from their constituents to know the status of the projects that are underway.
Yeah.
We could do that.
We can integrate that into the status report because...
It could just be the email separate.
It's amazing that it's just like Zeblin Road looks complete, but, you know, it may be a year down the road before everything's punched out and taken care of and final paperwork.
Even if you don't meet it, there probably is some anticipated timetable,
right.
though, that's a part of a contract, and it'd just be helpful to know that.
Has that design on Zeblin Road out on the other side already been accepted by DOT?
I don't know. I know there was some talk.
A lot of people hitting that median out there.
Yeah.
I
saw it, and
we
were stopped at the stoplight, and I was telling the engineer, you know, that's not the quick one. You know it was there.
Yeah.
Well, the bad thing is the lines that, of course, they've got them a little bit better now, but when they first took the barrel down, people were hitting it right and left, and what it does is it knocks your front wheel out immediately, and you're down
Is it night or daytime?
Both.
You can go out there now and see where they're still hitting it since they painted it with the yellow. They painted it with the yellow, and you see the black marks all down it.
You try to drive the road every day, and even if you drive it every day, it just takes you there.
You find yourself having a woe.
Every morning, you're there.
It's because you veer right a little bit. And then what you're doing is you're paying attention to that lane that merges in.
Right.
You'll see the people coming out of Wildwood, so you look to the right, you look at that, and you look back up, and there that little point is right in front of your car.
It'd almost be better if it had a ramp. It'd be better to have a ramp on it.
It wouldn't make you have to put a thousand dollars worth of rims on your car anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I've had like three calls in the last 2 days, blown tires on that curb where they get them. Ken Sheets is working with the district office to try to resolve that.
Thomas is looking at it and say,
I don't know whether you could put some kind of flashing light there, but, you know, you can see where they cut the old marker down in the pavement and, on the picture that I've got, because I had a picture taken right after the left.
I have a question about the status report on, and I agree with you. I'd like to have the, ongoing projects that are such as Houston Avenue as to where when it will where's the status at on that. Also Millerfield Road, I've got so many people to ask me as far as a reference to Millerfield Road. You know, they started the sidewalk on Millerfield Road, and I live in that area, and the sidewalk only goes so far. It was never completed. Yeah. To the where New Clinton Road and Millerfield connects, and it's, you know, because you have probably about three-fourths of the area where it was completed, the road was, and it was supposed to go all the way. So,
Jeffersonville, Millerfield, yeah. All that.
Yeah, it's because of the railroad overpass there, isn't it? That's got something to do with it.
I know the railroad was an issue.
And it's part of a major project out in there. Some of it, if I'm not mistaken, some of it is even federally.
Yes. It's all been looked at federally.
But we have saved some money back if they just didn't go outside. Because that was in the moving of some funds. We left an appropriate amount in there. We didn't take any out of that fund.
But I know in the area where Millerfield Road and goes up to where Willis Court, in that area of Finnedale, and as it approaches back toward the New Clinton Road intersection, that part was not, the sidewalk area was not completed. And I've had a number of people ask why it was started and just stopped in a certain area.
And that was work done on New Clinton Road?
Well, Millerfield Road, where it goes to where it angles off into New Clinton Road, but the sidewalk area did not, it started from the area going east, but going toward the New Clinton area, mm-hmm. It just, this sidewalk project just stopped at a certain area and was never completed.
For your information, I know that Dave Lucas has been up several times and met with the DOT on that project, so you might want to talk to
him. I mean, is this one that we, this is a DOT project that was under, that was built? So.
Being constructed and keep an update on it. It's still online and it's proceeding as expediently as it can.
What the road program had, they had two projects. They had a project that went out New Clinton Road all the way to Jones County line, and they redid that, new sidewalks and curb and gutter drainage and all. And then they had a section on Millerfield that started about that same place, about Bristol Drive and one about to Shirley Drive. And those projects had been done, and they were done with local money. Now, the other part of Jeffersonville Road is three projects on Jeffersonville. One of them comes down from the Indian Mounds to Walnut Creek, and then from Walnut Creek to Reclamation, and up Millerfield tying to the old project that was completed up at Bristol. That's the second project on Jeffersonville. And then you've got from Reclamation on around to the Jeffersonville Road and Walnut Freeway there at Lakeside Park, and all is the third project. Now, the funding that's available is some right-of-way money in fiscal 08, which we're in now, and we hope to be able to get into maybe spring of next year, is to start buying right away in the section from Indian Mounds down to Walnut Creek. And then the other money is in fiscal 2010 through the other two sections. So we've all worked on it, have worked on it, and continue to push those projects along.
But that's the ones that the environmental document is, it's tied to the same other two projects or three projects on the environmental documents.
One environmental document that's covering the three projects, and once that's approved, then we'll have public hearings out there and finish that.
And for the purpose, for some of you new people that's on the board, if y'all go down and get with Van and Ken, they'll be glad to take y'all around and show you these different projects and actually tell you what's going on with projects. Can you not do that?
I certainly would like to do that. I mean,
and it'll give you some a little insight of where we're at.
Right.
And so they know a lot more about it than I do. And so, with that being said, if y'all, and I was remiss for not welcoming y'all here today, the new members, and also thanking the old members that did an outstanding job of representing the city interests. And sometimes I didn't agree with them, but they served the city well, and it's always good to have people with opposing views, because everybody has the same view of everything, and it doesn't work out for the good for people. Okay. Any other questions about the projects and stuff?
Well, just as one from the House and Avenue,
I'll
take your advice and talk
with Mr. Avenue. And the House and Avenue is welcome. That was one of the things that we had to go and take a lot of money out of other projects. And in fact, there were some other roads that possibly had higher traffic use. But it was one of those things where for some unfortunate reason they had let it go. And that happens a lot of times when road projects come in, instead of going out and cleaning out the sewer lines and stuff like that, they just let them fill up. And so it got to the point that we couldn't just go in there and do what we possibly could have done and still had the same result, because they were just, no more work was done on, no maintenance work was done on after the initial time, so for a long time that just went unmaintained, so to speak. And then we had the problem with the power lines and the utilities and the main trunk line going to Warner Robins for the underground cable, and all went right up under that old road all the way out. So it was an expensive proposition all the way around. And then when the bids came in, they came in at a time where, of course, all y'all know what the price of gas is, so if you just compare petroleum prices and the price of asphalt, you can see why it's up so high. When you get a 300% increase in cost on material, then it runs up the price, and it doesn't have anything to do with delays or anything. That's the fact that, until you got some utility poles moved and the other agreements done, and for some reason Georgia Power picked Bill County to try to first suit out on utility relocation. So that was one of the things, and that's basically what we have. We have got the second phase started on that now, which will be down to Rocky Creek. Is that not right? What Dan can you do about it?
Mr. Chairman, we presently have divided Houston Avenue up into four sections. We have two sections that's on the contract now. The third section has recently been let by the county, and they've awarded a contract. So we'll have, starting probably out the first of the year, we'll have three sections of that moving on the contract. Some $16-17 million for it already.
And there's a possibility on down the road, of course, you have lock funds to come along for that last section that maybe by that time, by the time we get the other done, there'll be some more appropriation. Okay. Do we have any old business?
No,
no old business. Any new business?
several things from the CAC. First, we'd like to ask, the TCC agreed to put an agenda item on their agenda that was a CAC report, and we're asking that the policy committee do the same. We spend a lot of time in the series about this.
In the essence of time, you have a copy of that and we can submit it.
But I would like to discuss a couple of things because there are some of the things that came up today, and you do have a copy of our report, but I would like to go through a couple of these things because we do spend time. We read the documents. One of the things that we would like to do is to ask that we have forums that the MAT staff be allowed to investigate and arrange opportunities to have forums about good transportation design, both to educate the public and our elected officials, and sometimes local officials who are in planning, bring some people in from outside. I might just make some of my report altogether. We'd also like to ask that all three committees, the CAC, the TCC, and this committee, receive all reports that we are going to be asked to vote on at least 2 weeks in advance. This is in our bylaws, and Jim and Vernon can speak to this as well. We got a copy of the one of the documents the night before, and this happens all the time.
The CAC.
And what happens is that they don't get the documents they need from GDOT until the last minute, so it's really not their fault that they can't get the documents to us. But if we have this as a requirement, that will make everybody speed up the process so that we can look at these reports, read them, and give them due diligence, as we would like to do. But that's going to require that everybody communicate. And we spend a lot of time talking about communication between agencies, between the public and agencies, and facilitating a change in that. And so we would like to ask that this committee vote and make that a requirement, that if the documents cannot get, since these meetings follow each other, the CAC meets, then the next week.
We can't vote today.
Okay, well then we'll put it on the agenda for
that's
next
right.
time.
If you want to submit this for the members to take with them and it would save
right.
time and
okay, but I think we still need to talk about it because otherwise we're not going to get it discussed.
Well, I think what would be appropriate as far as a matter of protocol is for it to be placed on the next agenda.
And then
we get information in advance and then discuss
correct.
It in detail at that time.
Correct.
Because, you know, that's when you have that detailed discussion before you take an action on it, either after the motion.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is attached. That's why we would like to have the CAC report be an agenda item. But then let me just go through these briefly so that you can hear them and we can take action. Because some of these have been very strongly supported by the staff.
But what I'm saying is everybody here can read it. And so, you know, and we'll make a copy available.
Well, can I just give a little background, too? Because some of these things, once again, and I think you're hearing at a state level, too, with the new DOT commissioner, that she's found that there hasn't been a lot of communication between agencies. We're also asking that, and this again came from the citizens. We had a number of citizens from different neighborhood groups, including the one that was off Sardis Church Road, about communication, that we halt work, including right-of-way plans and acquisitions, on everything on which the public has not seen the final plans. Because as we've seen when we're talking about tearing down houses, that were just built or tearing down houses that have been here for 40 or 50 years. Unless we see the final plans, there's no way anybody knows what's going on. And sometimes those final plans have not been unveiled to the public for years. So that was another one of ours. And again, giving you background, we're also, the CAC would like for all road improvement projects to be transferred back into the MAPS process. We have had sort of a shadow committee that was separate from MATS. These projects should be in MATS. They receive MATS funding. They have to go through the MATS process anyway. let's put them all back into MAPS formally, and we're asking that this committee take action on that as well. We're also asking that we do a needs assessment on all of our current and long-range projects. We don't do that. There are some that don't need to be in there, and there are some that need to be added. Growth has shifted. Some of these things have been in there for decades, and if we don't do a needs assessment on it, then we're wasting money, we're wasting time. We'd also like to ask the policy committee to hire an urban planner that would be acceptable to the community to represent the Forest Hill Road residents at the proposed mediation. We feel like that's the only way that they're going to be heard properly in mediation is if they have an expert there to have discussion and dialogue with experts who have different opinions. We are also asking that the policy committee ask GDOT to hold open discussion and public forum meeting on the Forest Hill Road project. No one has seen the final plans. We don't know what the landscaping plans are. We don't know what the right-of-way plans are. No one has seen it for years. It has not been available. It has not been seen. And we would like for that to be a public meeting where not the same old kind of meeting, a public forum where the plans are there and people can ask questions. Thank you. And if these will be on the agenda, we'll vote on them at the next meeting. Is that correct?
Well, I think we'll make that determination, but they'll be taken in for consideration.
Put them in there. We can vote them up or down, but then put them in there.
Yeah, like I said, we could have done this.
Let's just list them all, though, and take them one at a time. You know, I mean, if you say that, it might be the most efficient one.
Well, they're all listed separately.
Right.
In the hand now, so, I mean, the committee can do whatever they want.
And at some point in time, we need to look at, we need to probably review the policy. And we also need to fill up the CAC document. But it's down.
It's not terribly down. We've actually, there are quite a few people coming. We had lots of people.
Did y'all have a hard time getting the quorum last meeting?
No, haven't been. No.
Absolutely not.
Okay. No, we have very lively and spirited meetings, and we take our mission very seriously. I can assure you of that.
They usually last about 2.5-3 hours.
How many vacancies do we have right now?
We have a lot of vacancies in there.
And some of them have never been filled.
Recently we've been getting a form, but I think you remember a year or so back we really weren't getting a form.
But that's because we have people who want to serve. And some of those positions have never been filled. We've never had anyone come from the Housing Authority and...
Yeah,
you know, there are a lot of vacancies.
We probably need to work on doing the appointments on those.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may want to look at restructuring it so you can get people who come. You may want to not have somebody.
And we may need to have a work session type meeting.
Yes, it will. In fact, it's kind of appropriate. We've already put together a lot of study staff has on what other communities are doing. So.
And we put together a report as well. We got the bylaws from about 8 different communities around the state, and we made a recommendation several years ago on changing some of the bylaws of our committee.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, we haven't done a roll call vote yet, and I'd like, there are new members here that I have no idea who they are and what they're representing and whether they're actually voting or just members. And I think that should be official.
Okay, we can go over the new members. We have from City Council. Miley and
the mayor.
Excuse me, the mayor and
Mr. King, the planning and zoning.
Are these all voting members?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'd like to make it a. I understand we're in a rush today,
but
I think we ought to do a roll call vote at the beginning of the meeting, like it's stated on the agenda.
I think he checks the roll.
I
don't think we've ever done a roll call.
We don't go through each member. So,
we
have
to
Maybe we should get introduction.
He determines the report, and so the only time really he would know is particularly, it's my understanding that the CAC has one vote, is that right, Ron?
Yes.
And so, maybe you got two members of the CAC.
No, I'm the only one who voted, I have.
That's what I'm saying, but I say you've got two members here today.
I think it's just more like introductions, not necessarily a roll call vote, but just so that we all know who we are. That might be
I landed here late, I would have welcomed the new members, actually, not waiting for a little bit later in there, but I came in late, which is unusual for me because I'm here to hear ahead now.
Mr. Chairman, this is broken, I'd like to move to adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn, second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
That's good to see.
Thank you, Robert. Hope you're doing well and have a great Christmas.
Thank you. Hope your mom gets along well.
She is.
Thank you.